This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchel with my colleague, Michael Yan. He is in Texas, in El Paso, reflecting upon what he's seen these last days prior to the expiration of Title 42 and now afterwards. Michael, you're near El Paso. There's a camp there that the Border Patrol is guiding people or busing people to. And the 12th, the question was, did the surge wane on the 11th and 12th? Are there fewer people coming through now? Now, you've described the camp at El Paso as full or heavily populated. So are people still coming through, or is there a trickle now only?
Oh, it's not a trickle. I mean, they're still coming through. It's just not like a tidal wave that a lot of people expected. For instance, I haven't gotten the numbers this morning, but last night we had about 23,000 in custody, and most of those will be released. And so I'm going to guess today it's probably 23,000, 25,000. Actually, I might know in the next hour. But yeah, so it's not like this, the spigot got cut off or anything like that. It's just that it's not been like a million. So it's still, you know, how many is 25,000 or, you know, 23,000 a day times 30? You know what I mean? We're talking, you know, I don't know, 600,000 or more per month right there, right? I mean, or more than that, right? I mean, we're talking 700, 800. I don't know, because some days it's a lot more and some days it's only like 22,000 or so.
And what do you measure of what happens to them? What happens to these migrants who don't have identification, who are bused to the El Paso camp, and then what happens?
I'm sorry, by the way. I'm off on those numbers. That's how many we have in custody at the time. I'm not talking about how many we actually take into custody, right? But keep in mind, nobody knows how many are getting past us, and there's thousands of crossings out here. Anyway, I'm sorry, John. Can you reiterate your question?
No, yes, of course. Once they reach the camp at El Paso, and there are other camps like this across Texas, you're West Texas. There are camps all the way to Brownsville, East Texas. Once they reach the camp without identification, what happens to them? Where do they go?
Oh, most of them will be released unless they pop up on some investigation or for some reason they're hot for something. And if they say they have HIV or whatever, they're not supposed to be let in. But they're only actually checked for things like lice. I mean, it's very difficult to check for scabies, for instance. And, you know, we do know a huge number are coming through with scabies, and a lot are caught with lice. And this is a big deal. People are like, oh, it's just lice. Just lice. I mean, that's a huge deal. Just lice is like saying it's just typhus. You know what I mean? Or scabies, as you know, is very serious. And we have a lot coming through with scabies. We have tuberculosis, multi-drug resistant tuberculosis is coming through. We see down in Darien, by the way, huge amount of malaria and dengue, same in Costa Rica. And so, you know, obviously this is coming up in their blood, which will be passed on by mosquitoes.
They're released to go anywhere in America. Are they given transportation? You're in El Paso. Your impression is the Venezuelans, the Colombians, and we're told the Colombia is now number two coming through the Darien Gap. Venezuela, Colombia, the Cubans, the Haitians, the people from the other parts of the world. They then have a place to go. They have contacts. I'm trying to imagine what you do in El Paso if you've just arrived in the U.S. without resources.
You know, that's a really good question, and it may seem simple, but a couple of years ago, most people say, oh, yeah, I have a cousin in Los Angeles or something like that. But now most of the people coming through are like, no, I don't know. You know, I'll just figure it out when I get there. The vast majority are like, I'll figure it out when I get there. Now, the Chinese, they have their own ecosystem. Now, the Chinese may go, you know, through the Darien Gap, which they actually go on a slightly different route, and they'll come up on the same buses and whatnot part of the way. But they have their own ecosystem. Like when the Chinese come into the United States, they kind of vanish in China world, right? But the others, like the Venezuelans, they're just like, you know, spread to the winds, and Haitians are the same, and Colombians, they mostly, they're not coming into an established ecosystem, right? Which is very important to keep that in mind.
Michael, does Border Patrol give them identification? You know, it's really not wise to move in America without identification these days. So if they throw their passports, their driver's licenses, any photo ID away before they cross the border, do they get a photograph from Border Patrol? Does Border Patrol give them a document that says what their name is?
They have a document, which I photographed one the other day, actually, and I'm going to try to get more of those today. I have not seen any, like, picture IDs or anything like that, but I continue to ask. In fact, when we finish today, I'm going to walk out and go right among them again and start asking again, do you have any picture IDs? But I haven't seen any handed out to date.
And the children who come through, you said there were women coming through at gate 42. Do the children get identifications, or are they attached to their parents? Do you know?
Not to my knowledge. None to my knowledge have been given any ID. And, you know, and I'll be asking that. The ones I'm going to be talking with now, by the way, are ones who have come across. They did not go through the system, and they're just sleeping on the streets by the Sacred Hearts Catholic Church over here in El Paso, and they sleep right in front of people's doorways, and the people can't get out, and so the people have started putting lava rocks in front of their doorways so the aliens can't sleep there, and the aliens have been defecating on the lava rocks and you know, because they get angry and have fights with the locals. And actually, some of the aliens have they will tap into people's, like, external, you know, security lights and charge their phones with those. So they, like, unscrew the light and mess with it and charge their telephone. You know, this is the sort of stuff that's going on here. The people that live near the Sacred Hearts, if you're in El Paso, go down there and talk with the locals that live there and listen to how afraid they are, because many of the people that live there are actually senior citizens, and they're very afraid of what's happening. They're afraid to go out at night. They're afraid to leave their doors. It's really terrible.
And have you seen any presence? One, I know the Border Patrol. You mentioned that. You mentioned the National Guard, Texas National Guard. Have you seen any regular U.S. Army personnel? Because we were told that some units were dispatched to the border. Are they near El Paso?
I haven't seen any. And the Texas National Guard that I have seen are not wearing names. They're not wearing their ranks. They'll wear their patch on their left shoulder. We had one on the night of the 11th, bumped two journalists with his truck intentionally, obviously intentionally, right in front of me. I could reach and touch his door, his driver door. I made video of him doing this. He literally went up and obviously intentionally bumped two journalists with his truck. And in fact, I had to move a senator out of the way, a state senator, so she didn't get bumped. And because she wasn't paying attention, I grabbed her by the shoulders, moved her out of the way. And then this happened with the journalists. And then a public affairs guy, Texas public affairs guy, came over and thanked the soldier. He was a staff sergeant, the soldier that did it, the Texas National Guard guy. He's actually the retention NCO. In other words, like the recruiting retention NCO for part of the Texas National Guard. Literally came up with this truck. He looked like he's on. We complained to the law enforcement. We said this guy just did an assault with a deadly weapon. And look at his face. I mean, he looks like he's drunk or on drugs or something. Look, he's not even blinking when these. I mean, look at his affect. He's got no affect. And the law enforcement didn't do anything. They just took him away and disappeared. It, you know, really amazing what's going on here.
All right, final concern. I looked at the Twitter feed of Raul Ortiz, who's the head of the U.S. Border Patrol, and he listed early in May the confiscation of drugs in 1 week, pounds of heroin, pounds of fentanyl, pounds of cocaine, hundreds of thousands of dollars of cash, weapons. Do they search the people coming through? Do they search the people who they bus to this camp at El Paso? Do they give them a metal detector? Anything like that that you've seen?
They search them. I see them searching them. But they're not going to be smuggling the huge amounts of drugs those directions, right? The drugs are going over like these remote sections of the fence, which is 99% of the fence, right? Or the border. So a lot of it doesn't have any fence. So the vast majority of it's just, you know, this is these cartels. They're very smart. They got a lot of money. They've got trail cams all over the place, just like the Border Patrol. They're using thermal drones. They do thousands of drone flights per month. I mean, they are very serious people. So it's not like they're, you know, trying to, you know, cross over with, you know, like a pound of marijuana in their pocket. You know, these people are coming over by the ton.
So what we have here then is the border is open. People are crossing the border. They may or may not be intercepted by the Border Patrol. They may or may not be processed through the El Paso camp. There are camps like this all across Texas and then all the way to California. And right now, you believe the numbers are not as big as they expected, but they're steady. There's a steady stream in all the crossings. Is all that correct, Michael?
That's correct. I mean, it's the man with the yo-yo walking up the steps. Right. Don't look at the yo-yo. Look at the man walking up the steps.
Michael Yon. Y-O-N, Michael Yon at locals.com for Michael's reporting. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.